is the 19th day of June 2018. I'm interviewing three current members of the Hastings Rotary Club about the life and times of that club. It has been in existence now for 94, coming up 95 years. Now, the three members I have: David Davidson, obstetrician. I have Brian James, stock and station agent, and Graham Richardson, pharmacy. Would you like to start off, David, by telling us something about your impressions of...
Thank you, Frank. I came to Hastings in 1970, and in 1971 our neighbour, Hugh Mills, invited me to join Rotary, which was a complete mystery to me. I'd never seen or heard of really much of Rotary at all before then. And it was fairly overwhelming joining a group of 115, including all the senior members of Hawke's Bay, Dr. St. James, and I won't repeat those names, but it was very, very overwhelming to join that group. But from a personal viewpoint, it was very satisfying in that I was invited to speak to the wives, because in those days we were entirely male, and that little talk about what I could offer the community went down very well. And as a result of that, I started chatting to many other women's groups in the community. So I've got to thank Rotary for actually giving me an introduction to the community. And, you know, I was quite delighted a few years later, or very soon afterwards, to be asked to become chairman of the Community Services Club, which was, I think, pretty common. They got the newbies to chair committees to get integrated into the club. And in that role, I had the pleasure of helping plant the redwood grove down to the right of the gates to Stramatta Park. And this arose because the Redwood Rotary Club of California had sent seeds out, and Wilson had propagated them in his nurseries on Pakawai Road. He could have sold them many, many, many times over, but no, they were a gift to the Rotary Club and they were all planted. And going down there now, seeing how huge they are, and searching for the plaque which commemorates that day is really a great pleasure. They've been thinned out many, many times. Yes. So there's only a fraction of the number we planted was still there. We planted them, we knew that they like wet feet. You know, you didn't have to get very far up the bank at all before they just didn't thrive. And quite a few on the margins just died. They didn't get enough rain.
When did you join approximately?
I joined in 1971. I was invited very quickly after I joined. Another thing which has come back to my mind is that 45 years ago approximately, we founded the first Probus Club in Hastings, to which I now belong. Unfortunately, the Probus name has been copyrighted by a group in Australia. We've now charged exorbitant fees, so we've now had to change the name to Rebus. Other clubs were founded before I joined, such as the Havelock North, and Waipukarau, and Stortford Lodge. But I think it was John McCormick who founded the Caribou Club, and he got very involved in that. But then he suddenly dropped out of Rotary. Just as a footnote, we founded the Waipukarau Club, which then founded the Waipawa Club. And when I was president, I was in the sad position going to their last meeting when they folded. For several years at conference, they'd won the prize for the highest attendance, because out of their 9 members, about 8 would attend every conference. They always walked off with the prize of the best attendance.
Just going back, I think it was 1962, your club, through Bill Velvin, and the district governor at the time from Wairoa, can't remember his name, they founded our club in Havelock, and we were celebrated 50 years plus, so we were young.
So, since then, of course, our club has declined in numbers. Luncheon clubs have become less popular. Service clubs have become less popular. And probably my biggest disappointment in Rotary is the failure of my effort to try and get a breakfast session going in the Hastings area. I've seen them succeed in Napier, Hamilton, and up Rotorua, but I went about it in the wrong way. I didn't do something right, but we just got no traction at all. There's still a little dream at the back of my mind that we will get a breakfast club going in Hawke's Bay when it starts Sunday.
I think it's a sign of the times in a lot of ways. The whole fabric of society has changed See, this is the unusual thing. Here's four very intelligent men sitting here, and not one of us is holding a cell phone texting.
David's comment about Probus, there's no doubt that that's been the major effect in the reduction of the number of Rotarians. If it had been there earlier, all those names that we mentioned when we were young in Rotary would have been off Probus. There's no doubt about that. And it's a bit unfortunate, nothing we can do about it. One or two do both Probus and Rotary, but in the main, the group that we lost, so many of them were simply happy to just have Probus.
This is an argument with no regularity.
And I must admit, I find that difference quite glaring. And
yes.
Put it bluntly, Probus is selfish, Rotary should not be selfish.
I think, you know, it's interesting the way things developed in Rotary. We took away some of the disciplines that were the very thing that drove it, and that was you had to attend, you had to take part. And the whole thing was a wonderful concept, but it was built out of, you know, business people who met, further business.
But I think the original concept of four disparate businessmen meeting and cross-pollinating from different aspects was very, very good. What has happened now, more and more people have got very, very involved in their own particular trade or profession, which I did, but not to the exclusion of the local community. But so many of these people just, as I said, work 7 days a week, and the demands of family have changed. The idea of the breadwinner, usually the man, having time to do these things because the household chores were looked after by the other partner, usually the woman, is gone. Mm. People are expected to spend a lot more time at home, and that diminishes the availability of the service time.
Mm. Brian, you were going to...
Well, I was just going to pick on that. There's no doubt that Rotary, when we were a club of 80 to 100, were a major source of information for the city. Reporters were always at our meeting, and quite big headlines would appear in the paper next day from things extracted from the group of 80 odd business people. It was very important. And when we had guest speakers, yeah, we always had guest speakers, and the media would pick up what they were saying too. Sometimes it was quite contentious, but Rotary was one of the major sources of local information.
And we were representative of the community.
Yes, totally, totally.
Could I tell a wee anecdote about the reporters? Bill Tremaine was our guest speaker, and he forgot to turn up. So the chairman invited speakers from the floor. And can you remember the South Malaccan crisis? Was it where there were riots in Holland of the Malaccan immigrants?
No.
Anyway, what happened is we had two speakers. Len Hoogerbrug was the second, and caterer from the farmers, Jack van Boehmen, was the first speaker. Jack van Boehmen was in the Dutch army and was responsible for helping repatriate the South Malaccans who had been displaced by the Japanese in the war. And he helped get them on the ships to Holland. And Len Hoogerbrug was an architect student in Holland, and he was a volunteer to help get them off and get them resettled in Holland. So we had, within our club, two people who were really involved in the major news item of the day. But because it wasn't Kel Tremaine, the reporters went home and missed probably the best story of the year. It was still stuck in my mind as probably the best speaking we've ever had. Right off the cuff, but really gutsy stuff. I credit Jack, rightly or wrongly, with the fact that we have what are locally known as meatballs throughout the community. I'm sure they start off as Dutch croquettes in his farmer's tea room.
Yeah, beautiful.
And they have become standard fare in Hawke's Bay. You won't find them anywhere else in New Zealand. In fact, you won't even find them naked, I don't think.
Because that brings another part of the story too, that the Rotary Club met in the Blue Room for some time in the Hawke's Bay Farmers Building, and Jack Van Bohemen, a member, was the caterer.
Graham talking. My memory of Rotary is when I first started, when I was first invited, and it was so formal. From memory, we were meeting in the Masonic Rooms or something.
That's
down
right.
In St. Albans,
yes.
Street, and it was such a formal occasion. The seats were all set out, the president sat in the middle of the head table, all the committees sat beside them. Right in the front of the president sat Ron Georgie, Van Ash, Wilkie. There was about four of them, and you daren't ever take their seats. And they just sat there, and the poor old president. And it was such a formal occasion, and everybody was dressed in their suits and their ties, and it was just an amazing occasion. And I was sort of gobsmacked by this. It was sort of not my scene to start with, but there was sort of 80-odd members at the time, and they were all important people around Hastings. That was my sort of memory of starting Rotary. I was introduced by Gary Pike, accepted, and I was lucky. Most pharmacists couldn't get out of their businesses. At lunchtime, I had a pharmacist working with me, so I was able to get out at lunchtime. It was a difficult situation for pharmacists to do that. Everybody took their lunch hours, accountants, school teachers, headmasters, everybody took their lunch. Yeah.
The formality was one of the strengths. It was organised to a point that the formality was easy because it just happened. You never ever thought of going there without a tie on because the sergeant at arms would ping you for being half dressed.
It was amazing that in those earlier days you were introduced as a pharmacist and you'd be the only pharmacist in the club. They couldn't duplicate the field you were in.
They had subgroups.
It was so very, very different.
When I joined, we had, in medicine, we had Sid Young as a surgeon, Ian McPherson as a physician, Graham Clark as a general practitioner, and then I came as this weird obstetrician gynecologist.
So you covered everything.
And there were quite a few lawyers. There was a conveyancing lawyer. Yeah. But going back to the formality was actually not my dominant memory, because probably I had a bit of a background of formality. My memory is more of the repartee and the wit that carried on in this superficially very formal environment. Ron, Georgie and one of 12 kept on poking the borax at each other mercilessly. It was very, very fun. But starting off in the Blue Room was wonderful, and then we went down to the Masonic, which remains now stands.
As Graham said, even when I was president, I can remember those four fellas, Georgie, Van Ash, Wilkie, and Hans Christian Andersen. They were the four in front. And if you made a mistake, even as president, they would tell you in no uncertain manner. And there were 60 others, or 80 others, but these four in front dictated. And as you say, the formality of it all, Roger Bate introduced me to the club. I had been a Rotarian in Dunedin a long time before. He was very kind in his introduction to that big club, which what Hastings was then. I had met them earlier, and this is coming a bit left field. I, at the time, in the mid-1970s, was president of the Hastings Chamber of Commerce, and we were initiating the thought that the two cities should merge, and that's where it all started, in the mid-late 1970s. And we were working with the Napier Chamber of Commerce, who supported the concept, and I spoke to Hastings Rotary about what we were doing and got the support of Hastings Rotary, which was announced at some point that Hastings Rotary supported Hastings Chamber of Commerce in its attempt to bring the merge of the two cities. And that was my first contact with Hastings Rotary, which Roger Bate brought up when he introduced me to the club a few years later.
Out of curiosity, did the Napier Rotary Club support the concept?
Yes. So much so in the Chamber of Commerce that the Napier Chamber said, look, if we're going to support this, we should be a united chamber. And that's when the Hawke's Bay Chamber of Commerce came into being, the catalyst being the support of merging the two cities. It pushed towards a vote, if you recall, in the early 80s, which was tossed out by Napier. And then, 10 years later, they tried again, and the same thing happened again, except that the latter time embraced Wairoa and Waipaka.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. That ruined it, really. It was purely the two cities in the late 1970s.
Just looking back, the club would have been going at the time of the 31 earthquake?
Yes, it was 1924.
No one ever took any photos of places being rebuilt. It just all happened. There was plenty of photos of the wreckage.
Have you spoken to Bryce Jones about it?
No.
Because Bryce has got quite a lot of stuff, photographs of the rebuilding of that end of town.
I probably have all those photos from Richard, his brother. Major projects, besides founding other Rotary clubs in the area, what projects come to mind?
Again, before I was there, the pirate ship in Windsor Park. One of the major ones led by Charlie Trask was building of a house in Flaxmere and then on selling it to raise funds for our charity. Got records of that?
No, you haven't mentioned that.
So that was in the late 1970s.
On February the 3rd, 1931, came the earthquake. All members were affected and some suffered severely in business. The Roach Drapery Building largely collapsed and there were deaths of staff and customers. Tom Gill, a club director for several years and a particular active member, lost his life attempting to rescue members of his staff. Club activity as such completely stopped. The Rotary Conference planned for Dunedin in February was cancelled, and clubs and other centres hastened to do what they could to render general assistance. Quite a bit in there.
And that's on the 50 years.
Page 20.
Yes, that's attached to part of the history. It was a happy place, Rotary, wasn't it? As we spoke about, there was some formality, but there was always lots of smiles. It was a happy place to be part of. It was never that convenient to be there because you always seemed to be busy, but we all made it on time. You enjoyed it, and you planned your day that you were always coming back to Havelock, because we were farm contractors at the time, so I always made sure I had a job close to Havelock later on Monday afternoon. It was something you wanted to go to and enjoyed.
And there did not appear to be too much of a problem of our club being a luncheon club. In those days, the business people obviously had more time.
It's also a matter of organisation. I mean, I was on call 24/7, but I made it absolutely plain to my reception. Two rules. She only had two rules as far as I was concerned. One, that I got away to Rotary on Tuesday, so she never overbooked me on the Tuesday morning. The only other rule that she had was that she never threw out a cup of coffee, no matter how cold it was. She did once and brewed me a nice fresh one an hour later, which I...
And Bert.
But Rotary was that important to me. Well, it was the only time of the week I met blokes, so from a personal, selfish viewpoint, I loved it. When women were introduced to Rotary, I felt that I was the only member of the club who had a legitimate reason for opposing it, because I liked my hour a week with blokes. I didn't oppose it, but I thought I was the only one with a legitimate reason for so doing.
Yes.
Funny that you say that, because that was a similar thing to me. Most of my customers were women, because they were ones that wandered around town during the day, and it was an opportunity to be with a group of men.
And also, the breadth of the community you were dealing with was wonderful. Again, my role was entirely very, very narrow. We didn't have much time to talk to women about their businesses or their husbands.
No, that's right.
So I didn't know from my work much about the community.
That's interesting, because we had a doctor too who didn't want ladies to join Rotary because he felt this was an opportunity to meet with the men, and I know myself, if I hadn't have joined Rotary, I would never have ever been part of the Havelock community.
You were just in your own little world.
That's right.
We haven't touched yet much about the physical things we did as a club for the community, and the one that always brings to mind was we used to get from Carter Ogee the ends of logs. Now, it had a name which I can't remember, but I guess it was slicing the log to the right length. And we would go out with a truck and we would get these rounds, hundreds of them, and we would bring them in and have a working bee where we'd split them into logs, put them into trailers and take them to the elderly of Hastings. And the fun we used to have delivering these trailer loads of split, I wish I could remember the name that Carter Ogee had for the end of the logs, but you know exactly what I mean.
They were offcuts, weren't they?
Well, I suppose they were offcuts, but they had a technical name. And you know, for some years we did that, chopping them up and delivering them around. You know, that was one of the things that we did, but there were so many other things. You talked about planting your trees way back.
One of the other memorable ones was raising money for the first ultrasound machine in Hawke's Bay.
Oh, yes.
At that stage, if we needed an ultrasound, we had to send a patient down to Palmerston North. And Frank Crist, myself, and Jim Vaughan, who's a radiologist, we got involved, and I'm not quite, somebody condescended doing this, we started selling fish in the Mayfair precinct, by what was then the Mayfair supermarket. So we were selling soul. Buy a soul to save a soul, that was our sort of motto. And we basically did most of the funding for the first ultrasound machine in Hawke's Bay.
Selling souls.
By selling fish. And there are lots of these little projects. I can remember planting, I've got photographs of planting trees in Windsor Park. And I've got my boys with me, so I know it was me.
Yeah.
I can't remember the background to it.
Because when you think over 94 years, there must have been lots and lots of very successful projects.
We built a garden, the hospital, in the middle of what's now the maternity unit. But it was basically for patients to sit outside under protection, maternity patients mainly. Mm. And it was a very nice little garden. It was overwhelmed by circumstances.
Because the other big project was the pathways. Yeah, that was huge. I mean, we did fund it quite a bit, but it was a collaboration of funders that did it. But the committee that was involved with it was Rotary.
Well, they were known for a long time as Rotary Pathways.
Rotary Pathways.
Yeah, it was still clearly indicated on those pathways.
And then we did a project where we put seats on some of them.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Ron Walker was the guy.
That's a sign of an aging club, isn't it? Yeah. We have to start putting seats on the projects.
We lost them for a while. We wondered where the seats had gone.
Yeah. You mentioned Ron Walker.
Yes.
And I think this was a combination of social service and fun. He did these dinners, themed dinners for, what, 8-9 years?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
To raise money.
To raise money. And they were fundraising dinners, but he did them magnificently. Mm. And Ron really worked hard for the club.
He did.
Mm. And he got his nose put out of joint.
He got hold of, I don't know how, quite precious things that we auctioned at those functions.
Yeah, yeah.
And made a lot of money.
One thing I know that your club was involved in, that was student exchange, Outward Bound, the various other
science school.
The one that used to run at Cambridge School.
We've dropped everything virtually except for some of the academic ones, haven't we?
It's something that our older club, I mean, we can't go chopping wood any longer. We're mainly over 80, but sending schoolgirls or boys, sixth formers, to science school, which is an exceptionally good program in Auckland University, and then they come back and talk to us, and we realise that there's something we've done that's of considerable worth, not only for that girl, but for science generally. And I'm very proud of how our Hastings Club, year after year, sponsors, because they're quite expensive sponsorship, and the response we get from the participants.
Group study exchange, I'm sure that members of your club went away.
Craig led a team one.
I'm trying to remember the name of the Swiss student who stayed with Craig, the student exchange, whom I met a few years ago. I made a point of meeting him in Basel. His contacts stayed, and we had some very, very good exchange students.
Yeah, but we also had the adult Rotary teams that
came
out. What did they call it?
Group study.
group study or something.
And they'd all stay with us.
Yes, they did. They stayed with us. Remember the last one we hosted was a Canadian from way up Saskatchewan, I think. And, well, the province that's got this oil shale, and the girl that stayed with us was quite a senior boss in this massive oil shale. And she was a very petite thing, and according to her mates, she drove the biggest V10 pickup truck you could lay your hands on. But that association was always interesting.
And social functions, we were very good at running social functions, although at Fountain Rotary, they always had trouble to balance the books. There was always the cost overrun.
Yes.
Now we don't worry about that.
We haven't really got a leader to bully us into those things like old Ron Walker did.
No. Yeah, Ron Walker, he was a good guy, but he knows how to joint so quickly.
It's sad that, you know, our club with so much history is now a small club having difficulty getting professional people to come at lunchtime, and young people come and have a look at our average age of bloody nearly 80, if not over it, and say, no, it's not for us. And it's very difficult to find an answer to that. David, more than anyone, tried to set up a breakfast club, spent a lot of time on it.
He just didn't get any response to that at all.
He just couldn't generate enough
interest. I thought
it
got some response, and then last month the response just disappeared.
But I think this is a pattern. Our club dropped. When I was president in the 80s, we had 85 members. We got down to 20-something and tried breakfast clubs, all sorts, and it didn't gel. But slowly it's picking up again. Younger members, they're still in their 50s and 60s, but they are young people by us
standards.
Now, you three have all been past presidents, haven't you, of the club?
Yeah.
Bill Belvin was a district governor. Yeah. Who else has been the district governors over the years?
The only one in the Whitlock, in here, it's got Phil Whitlock, Belvin, and that's the only one.
Because Red Beattie was the one I was thinking of from Wairoa. He was the DG and he helped set our club up.
Yeah. The club sent me up to Taupo to be interviewed some years ago, but they decided I wasn't good enough and got someone from Cambridge, I think.
Weren't you lucky?
Yeah.
Yes, we have Grant Stackman has put his name forward to be a...
Yes, and he's been accepted.
Yes, he has, yes.
Two or three years ahead. But
so you can sort of rest back on your laurels and say you set up clubs that actually choose district governors or provide them.
That's quite a process, isn't it? Because it's not just next year or the year after, it's the year after that.
You see, this reminds us, it's all past history to us now, but there was a club service committee, there was an international service committee, there was a community service committee, and there was a vocational service committee. And, you know, we were big enough, not all that many years ago, that we had those four committees, and there were six or seven or eight or ten in each committee. They used to meet in the chair of the committee's home.
They called them fireside meetings.
The trouble with those meetings, it ended up sort of a competition for the spouses to provide the biggest supper.
That's right.
The unique thing about Rotary, the fact that you only had to be on a committee in a job for a year. You were not committed for 10 years, although some people quite enjoyed being
wanted to do it.
But in the main, that made it very easy. You could give it heaps for 12 months and step back.
You know, even president, that was just a 12-month term. You must be president.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the strengths of it.
Just looking at the back of this book, they group the senior Rotarians, and you've got W.A. Whitlock, who was paper, past district governor, Whitlock was. Piet Van Ash, with his photography. Sir James Watty. H.E. Phillips. Now, what was he?
Phillips and Chapman.
Okay, right. I couldn't remember. E.T. Gifford, his widow is still down the road. And Georgie, that was the group then. We would have to put virtually all our club in as seniors.
Would that Gifford, though, be the widow of the same Gifford, or was it the next generation?
Oh, no.
She's 90.
Over 90.
96 or 97.
And he was president in 39. Yeah, no, that would be Dyer's husband.
Yes, it was,
yeah. You know, your people, when they work through this whole thing, so much is in that first 50 years.
He was president 80 years ago. Well, yes. His wife then, did he marry her very, very late in life? No, I think he must be a second generation.
Harold Phillips was her father, and Peter Gifford was her husband.
David must be right. It can't be Dyer's husband.
Peter's father.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, it must be. You're quite right. E.T. Griffin must be Peter Griffin's father.
Yeah. 1939. Yeah. I wasn't around then.
Well, I was, but I wasn't out of the cot.
Yeah. I was. I'd been around for 5 years when he was made president. And was that Gifford and Devine in those days?
It became Gifford, Devine and Watson were the stage, wasn't it?
Out of those Rotary contacts, friendships, came, you know, for lives.
Oh, yes.
Always remember, I used to go sailing to Napier. A gynecologist, through my association with David in Rotary and locally, the friendships extend.
Yeah, and actually, for Beth, a stranger not only to Hawke's Bay but also to New Zealand, who had loved Auckland, where she was more anonymous in the community, come here and be the wife of this novelty was rather a daunting prospect. And her two sources of socialising were other mothers, which was the most common way of having mothers, and actually making friends with neighbours and Rotary ones.
Okay.
Not a lot, but a few. Yeah.
You talk about sailing with them. We arrived up here, Jane pregnant with number four, and the professor of gynaecology at Dunedin, a great friend of ours, said, "David Davidson, he'll look after you. And be assured of that." And we arrived, and David was very unhappy because number four daughter arrived on the second day of duck shooting.
Which was most unreasonable.
Yeah.
You were a duck shooter?
Well, I shot a gun in the general direction
of ducks.
Not many ducks suffered as a result.
No,
but
the group in Hawke's Bay have a pheasant shoot. And I said, "Do you ever have any pheasants? I wouldn't mind a couple." Well, they turned up a week ago with 11 pheasants. And of course, those days, you used to be able to pluck them down at the cow shed or the farm, but try to do it in town.
Can you remember much of it?
Well, the current trust, and I was unaware that...
Well, it was just morphed into a new one, yeah.
Yeah, and it currently has a reasonable amount of money, $50,000, and we don't add to it now, but we used to add to it. We had the ability to, at one stage we had donations to it to build it up, and then we could either withdraw it or take it out. So it's really great to have, because when we get an application from somebody like the science school, we can pay for it, we can do it. We don't have to take it out of club funds. Our club funds just run pretty much level all the time, don't they? But we've got this ability. Just recently, a young lady we sent to the science school this year, she's been granted a place in science school in Europe, so we help sponsor her from the trust.
Our latest contribution was to the rural support group. We had their leader speaking to us, and we donated, and it was all built around this bloody cow problem. And, you know, in doing so, we were showing that we represent rural as much as we do the city, and I was very keen that we contributed to that fund, and it was appreciated very much by the coordinator of the Rural Trust in Hawke's Bay, which is under real pressure now with the concerns and two suicides.
Yeah. At the other end of the spectrum, of course, our help to the local low decile schools in Hastings. And with many other Rotary clubs, we got very involved in the dictionaries and schools. And that was wonderful, because for many of those kids, it was the only book they had in the house, and they were treasured. But with the devices, dictionaries have suddenly become old hat. So last year, we got Nairi Shan to talk to us, and we're now supporting the same school, but with their music.
And their violins.
They teach their eight-year-olds group lessons to learn the violin or the cello. And we missed out on their only concert. And I think This meeting appeared it was worthwhile being a Rotarian. We missed out on the concert for a whole lot of reasons, but invited us to a special rehearsal there. And these kids were really involved. And to swell the numbers, they'd asked the next year's kids to come along to be the audience. And they threw themselves into it with enormous enthusiasm, didn't they? And I was speaking to the principal, this was Everett Park, and he said, you've got no idea how much this has changed these kids' behaviour. The concert itself was amazing because the parents were blown away, they applauded, and for some of those kids, that was the first time that they'd ever been praised by the parents for anything. Mm. And on the other side, probably the first time the parents have actually been proud of their kids. So it changes their whole behaviour. He said their academic improvement was just...
And of course, music is the international language, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's also a lesson that you don't want to become an encyclopedia salesman. It's just a thing of the past. And I mean, we used to have them knock on the door with a
yeah.
set of...
And we all had them in there.
And now they just sit on their computers and call up whatever.
Coming back to the Hastings Rotary Club, the club unfortunately is getting fairly low in members. I guess the future will depend on whether you can encourage some new people to come.
Well, a few weeks ago, we had a speaker that Graham had organised that I thought really deserved a bigger audience. So I asked with Craig's permission. Actually, I'd never actually got Craig's permission. We ended up telling what we were doing.
Yeah, you just tell Craig.
And we got the local Rebus Club to come along as well. And it swelled our numbers. And as a result of that, we've possibly got one new member who's coming along today.
Is that this Richard?
Yeah.
What's his surname?
Rogers. He wrote Oklahoma with his friend Oscar.
Yes, I knew him somewhere in the past.
He's not the wall man.
Pass, I'll let you know if you ring me tonight.
How old is he?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well answered. 70?
I would think so.
Pretty sure he was a wall buyer.
He was saying that one of his friends tried for years to get him involved in Rotary, and he didn't say which club it was.
He lives in Havelock.
Yeah.
Yeah, this Richard, he was part of a worldwide wool buying group. You would know the name of them. It was one of the firms.
That might be why I remember it. But Frank, you bring up that very difficult point that we've all got. No, we have a history that we've got to protect, a unique history in Hastings that we have to protect by staying alive. But, you know, at our age and down to 14 members, we get down to 10, what do we do? And even things like the money that Graham was talking about and the trust, you know, how do we handle those sort of things if we have to wind up? And I mean, none of us want to wind up. We want to keep going. We would love to get new members. We're not having much luck. And I talked to my 80-plus members, and most of them are Provost. We're a bit too old to take that on now. And it's very hard for us to talk to the young ones because we haven't got those contacts.
One of the things, too, is that I refer to us now as a social group, but we're still tied by Rotary rules, which is not too difficult now, but we've still got to pay all these fees. So, you know, what we're paying in membership fees now barely covers what we get charged from Rotary, from the magazine and all that sort of thing.
And I find that very frustrating. I get these bloody magazines, I can't read them. They
no,
the bill.
I know, and you can't say, well, I don't want them.
Very Australian.
Yeah.
Okay, I think probably, unless you can think of some other things you want to talk about, I think we're probably pretty well given just a broad brush, and that's all we can do, because the basic history is in the memorabilia and the archives that we've covered.
And Hastings has a membership that loves Rotary, loves the association that Graham touched on between us all. We have a lot of fun together, but our ability to input into the community with 13, 14 people is very different than if we were 80 or 100.
Can I just add one thing? You mentioned Don Patterson earlier.
Yeah.
And Don Patterson was instrumental in having our charity golf tournament, which was very, very successful and a very good fundraiser and contributed enormously to our trust funds until the year that Taradale bought out Tiger Woods caddy Williams and set up in opposition to us at about the same time. And that basically destroyed it. And that's always stuck in my craw a wee bit, that another Rotary club actually destroyed our tournament. They didn't discuss it with us. Well, could we have a combined, you know, and I felt there was an opportunity for promoting goodwill. And that's probably my only real adverse experience in Rotary. I've never quite forgiven Charity Club.
I often think back to JC's. You know, I had a marvellous time in JC's and we did so many good projects, but JC's has just faded. I don't know whether there's even one club left in New Zealand.
You say the same with Boys Brigade and almost Scouts. It's just a different world, and we're trying to live in our old world. The young see it totally differently.
They had one going there for a little while. They had formed a committee and everything, and it just fizzled out.
Anyway, I think at this stage I will thank you, David, Graham and Brian, for this input. I hope that everything goes well for the club, but I do enjoy the fellowship of you people, so thank you.
Thank you for the work you do for this group. It's incredible. Must be very busy.
That's the first 50.
Thank you, Dave, for trying to understand our ramblings.
That's all right.